promised land.
Oh, so we've got the metronome.
All right. On the rhythm now. Hey, what's
doing
up?
12-8.
It's Jack. Oh, we're doing 12-8. Welcome to the Athens Music and Atlanta Music Scene podcast.
What's 12-8?
That's
the time he was doing a metronome joke, I think.
I was following up with what Rob said.
Okay.
Anyways.
Wayuka Rogan Experience, the Athens and Atlanta Music Scene podcast. That was Jack O. I'm Will.
I'm Jack Webster.
And I'm Robert.
We missed y'all. It's been a little while since we were in the pocket here. And I guess we should lay out some excuses. I mean,
I think it's safe to say we've learned a lot since our last aired episode and our last maybe 1.5 episodes.
Mm-hmm. So what did we learn exactly?
Well, personally, I guess full disclaimer, we tried to record an episode that did not air yet, and I don't think it will, but I think
probably
maybe,
not.
Maybe there's
bad.
Some way to like send you clips of things we remember.
Oh, that would be
last podcast.
Good to do like the drunk
and then be
version,
like maybe some sort of sound that goes back to us.
Idea.
Yeah,
nice.
I learned personally that going into a long form podcast at 2 a.m. after, you know, being under the influence a little bit is not the easiest best idea.
Late night of playing music, you know, playing a show and reconnecting with friends in Athens. There's a careful balance that we've tried to strike over the years of podcasting where it's like maybe no coffee and no beer, it might be kind of dry, but too much, mostly on the beer side, and that's things get a little too wet.
Mama doesn't know where she went wrong. My girl doesn't think she can take it any longer.
Yeah, dude, they're gonna love that.
It's kind of like playing live as well. Like,
good point.
I know our last show, I think it was our last show at the Earl.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, we had a little party at the crib beforehand about 4 hours before we played, and I had a few too many craft cocktails made by our roommate. And as a result, my playing was not very good. So I think podcasting is...
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think, also we're casting from the back porch right now over here on Glenwood, North Ormwood Park area.
That's right.
Our first outdoor podcast.
The birds are chirping.
Really
the
nice.
Wasps are circling.
Trying to get a guest spot.
Yeah. Well, they just might.
We're all wasps here, are we not? Well, I guess except for J.O.
Yeah. Not Protestant.
No. Guess not.
I will say I learned from trying to edit or really salvage the last attempt at a podcast that I take too long to tell stories. And I just want the listeners to know that's something I'm going to be working on consciously going forward with this production.
Well, what stories were we telling? I don't really recall very clearly.
Episode.
I was trying to make this like kind of three-tangent connection between Robert's canceled plan to Japan with his partner.
A travel plan was canceled.
Yeah.
Partner.
Yep.
Partner.
So, my partner and I...
he's doing the partner thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Brandon was doing that too. That's cool.
That
I do think that's
pretty
cool.
We're gonna edit that out, but yeah, that was that.
I think that is.
That was awesome.
Man, there's really nothing better than people saying
one
like,
day I'm gonna do partner.
Saying my partner when you're like very well acquainted with their partner.
Any
they don't
there?
They don't just call them by their name.
But my partner,
like,
who is really a girlfriend.
Is this partner?
Huh.
Like a business partner?
No, Lester. No, Lester.
Who gave
no.
Lester a mic? No. God damn it.
My romantic partner.
Your mate.
Lester.
No. No. Not my mate. Not my mate, Lester. I know you're like...
God David no.
It's by partner romantically.
To like my parents' trip to
Jordan. Yep.
And Webby getting COVID and having to like quarantine there. And then circling all the way back to him being really excited to be back and going out a lot in Athens to this story at the Oglethorpe Garage where he thought a guy was Jack O'Reilly who assaulted somebody.
Wait, so let's
yeah,
let's
I mean, that's very
that
ambitious.
And some messed up guy came across Tallahassee from the gas station and slapped a woman here.
Oof.
He tried to come back again.
The fuck?
And a bunch of male patrons shoved him back across the street.
I'm glad you're not prefacing.
Then he tried to steal a pickup truck at the gas pump.
Yeah, after that.
Cops arriving now, most exciting thing I've seen here. And then he said, I think it was Jack O'Reilly.
So there's a guy that
we could speed it up
at Oglethorpe Garage, and he tried to fight a woman, and then he ran across the street and tried to steal a truck, and then got his ass beat by a dude at a gas station.
Yeah, it was a guy,
and then the cops came.
Yeah, it was a guy who, according to Mr. Webster, bore a striking resemblance to Jack O'Reilly,
and possibly was Jack O'Reilly.
It was not.
It wasn't
because he has an alibi.
What is that alibi?
Yeah, we didn't discuss the alibi. I think we kind of left
it
up
in
just,
the air. He was just not an athlete.
I don't know exactly when it was.
And it just wasn't him. It was somebody else.
It was a different guy.
It wasn't.
But
you weren't in jail, you know, an hour later.
Did he go to jail?
They
almost have, definitely, yes.
They have him in custody, yes. Okay. But, yeah, it was somebody probably on some, like, mentally altering drugs.
You'd hope so.
And assaulted a woman at the Oglethorpe Garage, and then proceeded to get forced across the street by a bunch of male patrons, and then tried to steal a pickup truck from somebody who I remember had a gun but did not brandish it.
Did not brandish.
And then went back under the overpass and on the on-ramp attempted to get inside of several other vehicles that were getting off the loop.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it was basically like real life Grand Theft Auto. I mean,
yeah.
It was like, yeah.
Dude, it's like running around like slapping people and then just like trying to steal like 10 cars in a row.
Yeah, dude.
Video
Grand
games.
Theft Auto Classic City Edition.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
That's like a
flying on the
That's
loop.
A good idea for a bit.
Okay.
What would what would you do in that game and where would you go?
So you like?
I think you definitely, you know,
play a little Guitar Hero.
Fulfill every UGA alum's dream of like breaking into Sanford Stadium and causing some vandalism at the least.
Sure.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be the kind of thing where like you try to pace in the alley behind Flanagan's, and then a cop's like,
piss or pace?
Pace.
Oh.
And then a cop.
That's nasty, man.
Cop brandishes a weapon at you. And then, you know, you have to brandish yours and you steal. There's like a truck that's been fully submerged underwater on Poplar Street. Like, drive it. You're, like, running into students, like, running over students and stuff. Do you know those videos of people, like, stealing, like, the police chase videos in Athens? Like, that dude with the Patagonia vest.
And, like, in the white truck who, like, is, like, bombing it down Broad Street.
Yeah.
Like,
the eastbound. One dude in Athens wearing the Patagonia vest.
Yep, the one guy.
With the white truck.
All new tonight, a University of Georgia student leads officers on a high-speed chase and posts a picture of his speedometer on Snapchat just before he crashes.
But yeah, he's going like, he's got to be going fucking like 70, 80 down like Broad Street, middle of downtown, middle of the night. Looks like maybe a weeknight because he's not running over people. And
I guess he crashes
kind of behind farmers.
Yeah, he makes it through the five-way intersection.
Oh, he's
like going down Oconee and then just slams into the parking lot across from farmers.
What's that shitty apartment complex behind Nucci Space? It might not even be there anymore, but it was like the steeple chapel white.
I mean, it's probably
like Chase.
It's probably
Oglethorpe Columns or like.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, he just like crashes over there, and the cops like run in.
Literally right next to the police station.
Was this on?
When was this?
TMZ.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's on YouTube, and I was definitely watching it like 3 or 4 years ago. So
it would be funny if not for the fact that like just there are so many people jaywalking over there all the time, and like drunk kids that aren't looking around them. Like someone could have died so easily.
Someone actually did die.
In that area.
Yeah, like a year ago.
Yeah, like I think like September.
Damn. Yeah,
like
but anyway.
Hit and run.
Yeah, uh-huh. It was like a UGA student, I think, who died. Yeah.
Fuck. But.
It's fucked up. Dude, how about the... Well, I don't know, man. That whole, like, Quick Trip execution thing that happened in Watkinsville?
Fill me in.
You know what I'm talking about?
That sounds pretty wild.
Dude, it was a UGA football player. I can't remember his name, but he just, like, walked into either a Quick Trip or a racetrack. In Watkinsville, walks in with like ski mask on, like gloves, and just like shot the attendant, who was this guy that apparently everybody likes. You know, he was like a local nice kid, and he just went up. He like didn't steal anything. It wasn't a robbery that went wrong. He just walks in and like kills this dude and left. And when they caught him, it was a fucking UGA football player.
Jeez,
so sad.
Damn. They really swept that under the rug.
That was like a month ago.
Yeah. I didn't hear anything about that.
You think Kirby pushed him too hard?
No, I think it's someone who wasn't on the team anymore.
CTE, man. I mean,
dude,
seriously,
facts.
Like,
could be. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I got it right here. Actually, it was a racetrack. It was the.
Oh, was this? Oh, you said Watkinsville.
If yeah. I were him, I mean, at least I would have like gotten like a donut or whatever afterwards. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe.
Really? Yeah.
Maybe a 19.2 ounce White Claw.
Yeah. It's fucked up. Maybe
a Snickers. Maybe he needed a Snickers.
You're not you.
He was hungry.
That's fucked up. Yeah. Well, some other reasons that it's taken a while to crank this out. I found employment and
hell
it's
yeah.
on again, off again, but some level of employment, and it's caused a lot of weird situations that I've been in over the last, 2-3 months, I guess. Basically, like, working in the film industry. 2 days ago, I was working on a music video for Future, and I'm allowed to talk about this because I didn't sign an NDA or anything.
Is that the one Parker was producing?
Yeah, it was sick. Had a van and Arizona from Athens hip-hop group, Clip Art. Also working with us on the video. And yeah, it was Future and Metro Boomin, and there was a trailer room that just said Thug on it, and I was like, what's going on with the Thug thing? And they're like, dude, Young Thug. I always knew I wasn't gonna be K. I'm like, okay.
But he wasn't there.
He was on his way when he got raided, arrested, and hit with 2 RICO charges.
Oh.
So really sad to see that Thugger is, looks like they've been putting a case against him for the last 7 years on that. It was a 2015
mm-hmm.
murder that he's connected to. Gunna as well.
Yeah.
Like 26 people total or
Duke,
something like
28,
that.
28, I think.
Yeah, dude. It's
Slime Life. Yeah.
All over ATL Scoop. And so that was fucking crazy because we were all like, oh, cool, we're going to hang out with Young Thug in like an hour. And then he just, yeah. And supposedly there was a phone call where Metro, like, was on the phone. He's like, you know, Young Thug, get over here. Like, come on, dude, we're doing the video right now. Come on through. And Thugger's like,
if people think that I'm gay, I can't. They already misjudged.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the straightest man in the world. Man, I hate guys. Like, what?
Yeah. Which I don't know how someone could have overheard the other side of the phone conversation.
I'm buying like something.
He said, I'm buying something.
That's
what someone there told
fabricated.
Me. He says.
Like a and coffee then, or like a...
And then Metro was like, you got to be more low-key. Like, you're always buying shit. Like, you need to chill. And then it was too late.
He was buying from like an undercover someone? I don't know.
That's so wild,
I think the spot got raided when he was in it, or maybe it was his spot. I don't know what happened, but
yeah,
that's not good. Get ready to see a lot of Free Thugger graffiti across town. And where do y'all stand on that? Do y'all think he deserves prosecution, or are you kind of like, nah, dude, not Thugger?
I didn't realize that it was, like, the case had been building for 7 years. Because my initial thought was,
I mean, yeah,
there's no way these guys still like have their hands on stuff at this point. Like,
they do.
But well, if it's a 7 year old case,
it's unclear, I guess. But
yeah,
then yeah, they're definitely, you know, I just feel like you would think if you got to the level of fame that they have, that you just don't have to touch anything anymore. If you do choose to be involved,
yeah, you can at all. You can at least not be around.
But at the end of the day, that is what the RICO like act is for, mm-hmm. is so
True.
They can finally take down people who, like, I mean, I've been rewatching The Sopranos,
the Gabagool,
and mm-hmm. you know, yep. that's how they like are allowed to make the connection between bosses and, you know, cronies or whatever, and get people.
Damn, it feels good to be a crony.
Yeah,
from time to time.
I kind of miss being a crony. I feel like I am a crony. We are cronies on the film.
We're now film cronies.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. I accidentally walked in on Shakira changing.
No fighting. Shakira.
In her dressing room. Oh. Different.
Oh. What the hell?
Whoa. Different project. I didn't tell y'all about that.
No. Nope.
You did.
It was.
You did, but not on the cast.
It was. It was my first day on this like TV show.
What the crap, man?
And I was told they were like, yeah, can you go into that dressing room and like, you know, wire some.
They were pranking
stuff.
You.
It was like I had to like plug in some stuff and like figure out the wires.
Wait. You said to me that you were like moving a mirror.
Yeah, it's a mirror that has a bunch of lights connected to it.
Like a vanity.
Yeah. It's like a rolling vanity with wheels on it and shit. And, they sent me. It was, like, right when I got there on my first day, and they just kind of pointed. They're, like, people on the phone. They're just like, yeah, dude, like, go in there, hook it up. I'm like, okay. Walk in there. Shakira's changing. She, you know, I'm seeing. I'm not, like, staring, you know. It's like it's like a real quick thing. But, like, she made eye contact with me in the mirror when I accidentally saw her boob, basically.
Oh, my gosh.
And she was very professional about it. You know, she was chill. She didn't really seem to be bothered. Just sort of like, all right, get out of here, you know. And I did.
She told you to get out of there?
She didn't say anything.
You were in there for that long
enough. Shakira.
It was probably clear what the right
course
of action
Yeah,
was.
She didn't like narc on me, and I think that was a cool move. Also, there was a moment in the show where, like, I guess not enough people showed up in the audience to, you know, convincingly be an audience on this, like, game show type thing, and which Shakira was one of the hosts. And basically, I'm, like, taking out the trash at some point. I'm like, a bag exploded. I'm getting, like, trash juice leaking all over my jeans. It's, like, on my hands and stuff. Pretty gross. And at that moment, someone's like, hey, you, like, go get in the audience. Not enough people showed up. I'm like, okay. So I go jump in the crowd.
You had to be a stand-in.
I had to go be a stand-in. I went and jumped in the crowd, and I'm like, where do I sit? And the people organizing it are like, I don't care, dude. Like, it's about to start. Just fucking grab a chair. I'm like, okay. So I go sit down, and I happen to accidentally sit down in the only chair on the row that, like, Nick Jonas and Shakira and them all have to walk down to, like, reach their judge booth. So they want to be personal with the crowd. They're like, hugging people and like whatever, but I'm like covered in trash juice. So Shakira like gives me a hug when I'm like literally wet with like slime. And Nick Jonas also like fist bumped me. He's like, "What's up, bro?" And like,
you're 0-2.
It was so it was so weak.
Wow.
So yeah, just shit like that. Not a bad situation.
Wow.
Covered in slime, man.
I haven't heard any of that. That's unbelievable.
Too soon.
What TV show is that for?
It's for a show that hasn't come out yet.
Okay.
I should probably just leave it at that.
Under wraps.
But the show that you worked on, Mr. Jack Webster, did come out.
Oh, you're right. The one that we had to edit out of, like, episode 3 or 4.
Yeah.
It did air.
Do you want to run over that real quick?
Yeah, so...
what was the story that we had to cut because of
this was late
disclosure agreement?
Yeah, late, and you absolutely clowned me upon the new edit of that episode.
You're going to get clowned, man.
That's fine. I just feel like, you know, abusing
the power of editor
is maybe
you were the editor. Wait,
no, I edited.
What's going on?
I edited the episode and I clowned him in my edit. You know, because I can just insert myself saying
like, you edited an episode of what?
We put out an episode of the podcast where we had to take out a like whole chunk of a story that Jack Webster was telling because the show he worked on hadn't aired yet. So
he
was in violation of an NDA, and apparently someone like threatened someone. We don't need to get into all that. But
really,
what
he pretty much just said, wait a month and then you can talk about it.
All right. Well, it's been multiple months.
It has been a month.
That's why we were waiting.
What do you got?
Tales from on set. Our first episode of Tales from On Set, or segment. It's a segment now.
Yeah.
As half of us see stuff on set sometimes. This was like September.
Well, Robert's done some stand-in work.
Oh, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the game.
He was a straight-up extra. Right. He wasn't a stand-in.
Aaron soon as well.
I'm about to do some more, I think, but...
Can I hit the vape, please?
Yes. Yes, you may.
Cool. Dude, I was hitting your vape when you had COVID, and I didn't get it.
Well... I don't know how COVID works. I still don't think anyone
banana
does.
Flavor?
But I'm pretty sure
is kind of a like a neutral zone.
Let's get into the COVID
actually
thing later,
coconut,
so we don't have to
pineapple ice. But sure.
So we don't have to like move shit around. But
all right, what you got?
So like this was my first ever film gig in 2021 September. I got a job working for the first ever season of America's Got Talent at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
America's Got Talent Extreme.
Extreme. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sorry. First ever season of AGTE, as we call it. And they were repaving the Atlanta Motor Speedway, so they pretty much rented out the entire facility, including, you know, the enormous tarmac where you're supposed to park as a patron of Henry County's finest NASCAR venue.
Nice.
And
was this in like McDonough?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so
McDonough.
This was after I was cut. I was walking up to return my walkie for the night, and I heard somebody come in and say, "Hey, Jonathan Goodwin is about to run his escape." I was going to say escape artist stunt. And this is just a rehearsal. Simon Cowell's not there watching this.
Travis
Pastrana
is not judging at this moment. They're just getting a rehearsal in.
Yeah. Nikki Bell isn't there just so we can drop them all.
Cool.
And I'm like, you know what? This is a perk of the job. I'm going to go down there, wait for my friend to get back and drive me home. For the night, because he's, you know, dropping contestants off at their hotel and whatnot.
Cool.
So I go down, and this gentleman, like I said, an escape artist, kind of like the. I'm trying to think how to put this.
Is he like a magic man? Is he
he's not an illusionist, you know?
Is he like a Houdini?
You know it's Houdini. You know I got the beat. You see me on TV, 2013, OCTV, I fucking know the baby like, dang.
He's a daredevil.
He's
Mind
a daredevil,
freak?
Exactly.
Okay.
He's,
I watched
he's
some
up
of
the
his
daredevil
videos.
Variant.
He's closer to an Evel Knievel than a David Blaine. Is that what you're
yes,
saying?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like,
more
what
balls,
you're, what
less
you're seeing
brain.
Is the real deal, and there is actual potential danger involved. And so... he is he's hanging from a crane by his feet, and he's about, I'd say, like 35, 40 feet in the air.
Upside down,
hanging by his feet, and his feet are cuffed. I'm not sure by what.
Like his jeans?
His jeans are cuffed.
Very out of vogue.
Yeah, I don't know. They are binded, we will say. And... he's also wearing a straitjacket.
Oh.
And there's two other cranes set up kind of perpendicular to him that both have, in like a pendulum style, have a junkyard Toyota Camrys rigged
like
up.
Suspended in the air.
Yes, yes. And the point is he's got 60 seconds to shed the jacket, unbind the feet before the junkyard cars rigged with explosives collide exactly, you know, right, at his location.
They swing down as pendulums.
And it's a, I mean, it's a spectacle.
To explode,
you know,
on
him. Pendulum.
And, yeah, pretty much they run the clock. It seems it's, and I had seen some other escape artists in my time there. Did he do a bit?
No.
Did he do a good bit?
No, dude.
It was, yeah, keep going.
Yeah. Are we gonna be able to salvage that, or should we fake it?
No, we got
should
it.
Should do a non-candid version.
Carry on.
Yeah. So pretty much they start the clock, and I had seen a bunch of other escape artists that wore more of the David Blaine style. So I'm watching this thinking nothing can go wrong here. To the point that I'm like, totally just got my phone out filming this. And he sheds the jacket, goes up to, you know, unbind his feet. And it seems to me that, like, the safety protocol, if he is not able to get out, is that they pull his crane up to, you know, elevate him above the explosion and collision of the cars. But he fails the first time to unbind his feet. You can kind of see the, you know, people manning the equipment. They're like, he doesn't have this. Pull him up. Cars release. They start pulling him up, and then he succeeds, which kind of leaves him. If you take the, you know, whatever the physics of it, of being pulled up while you escape, it kind of leaves you levitating for a moment.
Sure. He's getting pulled up as he drops down.
At which point, I see a guy pretty much land in the middle of a collision of these two cars that explode. And then the landing pad that was there for safety for when he successfully got out, he was knocked off course by the cars and landed more or less head, neck, back first on the ground.
Jesus.
At which point, like I said, I had seen a bunch of Blainists pulling crazy stuff off. I thought the stunt was going to be he stood up and goes, ta-da.
Yeah.
And so I just, like, kept the camera rolling, and he didn't get up, and then the ambulances moved in, and everybody just kind of got the fuck out of there. They just...
Jeez.
They told the walkies to go,
dude,
go so, dark, yeah. And...
So how high up was he?
I think about 40 feet.
Jesus.
35, 40 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my...
Survivable, but not ideal.
Well, he's pretty fucked up, right? Like, isn't he severely, like,
yeah,
impaired
when
now?
When I left, which I tried to do as soon as possible after that, I thought, you know, I thought I'd seen a guy die. And so, and I have no other reason to believe anything otherwise, and so I called you, I think, on my way home, and was just like, gotta talk to somebody about this. This is pretty crazy. We did find out a few days later that he is okay. He even made an Instagram post that was like, hey, I assume the risk every time I do a stunt, and they're never guaranteed to go perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate all the support I've gotten. He did break both of his legs and got a concussion and has a bunch of burns on his body.
Isn't he, like, retiring from stunt stuff?
Honestly, I haven't really kept up with him.
Okay, well.
He can walk.
Can he walk?
Can't tell you anything about him right now.
Okay.
I mean, probably not yet.
No, yeah.
If he broke both legs.
But long term.
He'll get there.
You know.
He'll get
yeah.
rehab.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll be paralyzed.
Damn. Well, that's crazy, yeah. I mean, a lot of questions come to mind off of that of, like, you know, there are people there just, like, hitting a button to release cars to explode on him in a rehearsal. Like, why were the cars even
mm-hmm.
there?
Yep.
It's really just another example of, like, how, I don't know, like, you're just trying to go to work, do your job, as, like, you, for example. Just trying to go to work, and you keep winding up in these, like, safety hazard issues. Like in construction, we were dealing with, like, people falling off of roofs, you know, that don't have insurance, or falling through, like, an attic and, like, blasting into, like, a like falling through the ceiling of a house on into the kitchen kind of thing. It's like, I just want to make enough money to pay my bills and shit and go play shows.
The unintentional skylight, I think they call that move.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That move.
Bust a move.
But anyway, this is not this is not a podcast about low-level film work. This is a podcast about the Athens and Atlanta music scenes. Did anybody see a show this week?
We did.
Y'all both went? Both Jacks?
Yes.
All right. Care to elaborate?
Yeah, we saw Turnstile. At the Masquerade, Heaven Stage, and nice. It was lit.
Who else played? Was that the show? Ceremony?
There were like four openers.
Citizen.
Citizen.
Cool. Coco and Claire.
I think so.
Coco and Claire.
We missed.
Claire.
We just saw Citizen, I believe. We got there a little late, but the show started like really early, like 6 o'clock doors. So I think there were like five bands total or acts.
Damn, there's a lot of people have been anticipating that show and talking about it for months. I mean, Turnstile has been really hot this year, but also for them to play with classic Power Violence Gone Urban Outfitters style band Ceremony. And then Citizen, we've talked about a couple times on the podcast because mm-hmm. I saw them play and it was like a comical.
It was pretty display. Funny. Yeah, it was exactly. I was saying that to Jack the whole time we were there. It was like exactly what you said.
They were like the going which, really hard on the banter, being like, let's get the fucking
And then
going.
It sounded just like Franz Ferdinand.
Just like,
they sound like Franz Ferdinand now?
Instrumentally,
I think
that's
how we'll reference them
good,
on the on the New Year's podcast, and it was very accurate after getting a chance to see them.
Damn, well that's so cool. It sounds like a fun show. Robert and I, and maybe Jacko, were able to go see Coco and Claire at a house show here.
I missed that.
Oh, dude, that was really nasty.
That was insane. With Sword 2. And
people think you're talking about
that.
Wait,
was dope.
Sword 2?
Yeah.
Any relation to the sword?
No. I love the sword though. But
very different style.
This was like Carter, formerly of Seacoast. Tons
right.
of other really cool Atlanta projects. Kind of a kingpin in the like art Atlanta music world for a long time.
He was involved with Mammal Gallery, I believe, as well.
Yeah.
He or they. We're not
they.
Fuck.
I think. But yeah, that was dope to see both of those acts at a house show. I remember Coco and Claire. They covered, quote unquote. Don't Look Back and
Champagne
Supernova by Oasis. Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball. Where were you while we were getting high? And when I say cover, I mean they just played the track
on Spotify.
And I don't think they really even knew the lyrics or anything, but they basically just like hyped up the crowd who was enjoying hearing that particular track.
Yeah, that's one thing that was really fun and funny about the Coco and Claire set is that they straight up just aux corded Spotify into the speakers of their own song. So they're playing their own music off Spotify instead of having like a DJ or a band behind them. They're like clicking on songs. It's not even in the playlist like format. They're just like finding songs in their discography.
Yeah.
And they're like, should we do this? And then they like sing over their own vocals that are pre-recorded onto the track. And which, like, I said that to a couple people, like describing what the show was like afterward. They were like, oh, that's kind of lame. Like, they didn't. It was
no, but it was dope, actually.
It was cool, yeah.
Because, like,
it was really fun.
I mean, like, the songs are so good, and they have so much swag and charisma,
mm-hmm.
and everyone was, like, very, very into it. So it actually worked out great. But it was a little, you know, a little weird because on the recordings, they sort of, like, whisper, you know, the
mm-hmm.
vocals are performed very, very quietly.
Especially Claire's got that kind of like...
Uh-huh. Like, yeah, like playful sort of whisper
soft
thing
delivery.
Going on. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really nice.
But like they were basically screaming the lyrics, which I guess is common at hip-hop shows.
Yeah,
which is sort of gave the songs a new flavor, which was cool.
Yeah, it was lit, and it was one of those situations where the cops show up to break up the house show, but like right after the headliner's done, and it was the
nice.
There, like as I was walking out of there, our good buddy Owen from Less Dead, Dead Neighbors, etc. Swamp. I went back to the Chick-fil-A
bathroom where you OD'd. Sag.
Sag.
Allie Rainey as well.
Allie Rainey.
Who I caught their first show
last
weekend. Yeah.
Can't wait to get into that. But as Owen was like, Owen and I were walking away for him to give me a ride, like kids started coming out in the front yard and yelling like pigs go home for the cops that were shutting down the show. But it fizzled out like after like three or four repetitions. It was so funny because they were all basically like, well, I mean, I guess the show is over. So like we can go, we got to go home anyway, like whatever. So
we're all like, going home.
So yeah, pigs and us go home, everybody.
Yeah.
So that was fun. Robert, what was that Allie Rainey Less Dead show like?
It was just a house show over on the west side that was a benefit for Defend the Atlanta Forest. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There have been a lot of good, like, Trees Atlanta.
Yeah. And, like,
shows this year.
Yeah. And, like, I kind of thought that those people had basically lost. Like, I thought, like, the plans to build the cop city or whatever were basically like in motion.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently there's been people like living there for a long time, mm-hmm. like in these improvised tree houses as a sort of, you know, just protest against the whole, you know, thing.
So it's kind of like the, you know, like the trope of like someone chaining themselves to a tree so it doesn't get cut down.
I mean,
like,
yeah.
Sort of. But it's actually the community coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
Holding it down mm-hmm. together.
And they've been doing a lot of stuff down there. Like they've been hosting, like, workshops on various topics and, like, having, like, dance parties and that kind of thing. And they're actually throwing a rave in the woods this weekend, which could be a cool thing to go to. But,
Oh, shit.
But, yeah, anyway, the show was cool. It was just in... Well, this guy Jake put on the show, but it wasn't his house. But it
Jake
was
from Less Dead.
Jake, yep, uh-huh. And it was just in this person's backyard. And Allie Rainey, of which Owen is the front person, I guess. I guess they're kind of a slowcore band, if you will.
Mm-hmm. He's described it as Dustery.
Yeah.
I guess, inspired by the band Duster.
Duster-esque.
Not to be confused with Guster.
Gust, yeah. Like I did.
Yeah, and before they played, he said, "Are y'all ready for some extremely depressing music?" And I was like, "Yeah, you know, I usually am." But yeah, they played and they were great. It's Owen, Paris on the drums.
Word.
The guitarist we met very briefly, he's extremely tall.
Yeah.
I forgot their name.
Taller than Paris?
Yeah, this person is like 6'8". Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I have met that guy. Yeah. He's got the darker hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice guy.
And then the bassist, I didn't get a chance to talk to, but they were also very skilled. And yeah, it was awesome. But it also rained right after they got done playing.
So people started dispersing.
And people started dispersing, yes. So I did not see Less Dead. And I'm not even sure if they played. I don't think they did, actually.
I think they did because I ran into Jake at the Earl last
night. Oh, okay, cool.
He said it was good. And we were able to go see Less Dead at the iDrum like a month and a half ago at a different show.
Yeah.
Got an interview with the members of Less Dead. And here it is.
All right, Wayuu Kurogan Experience. It's Will and Jacko, and we're here with Less Dead, Jake, Matt, and Owen. How y'all doing tonight, boys?
Fucking really good, man.
Really sick.
Doing good.
Yeah, dude, I'm feeling pretty well right now. Yeah.
Second show ever tonight. It's a pretty good crowd. How do y'all feel about that?
Pretty blessed, to be honest.
Blessed by who? Not by God.
I don't know. I'm not really a prayer, but I do feel really lucky to have been asked to play this tonight. This was kind of a last-minute show. For us, it wasn't a last-minute show in general, but we got asked last week to hop on, and we had a set prepared because we just played our first show like 3 weeks ago.
Where was that at?
I was at Boggs on like fucking Boggs.
Boggs.
On a weekday or something.
It was a Tuesday night. It was a Tuesday night at a bar. Yeah.
On a Tuesday, matter of fact.
No sound.
So I understand y'all have recently gotten over a pretty bitter band name argument.
Yeah, dude.
A lot of a contentious race for what was going to be the name of the band.
I'm glad we got this on record right now because the name should be Dana Scully, like the lady from the X-Files.
Okay.
I said my piece, that's it, you know?
But with the S as a dollar sign.
Okay.
That was the original.
Easily searchable.
Owen, you had a different band name you had in mind?
Yeah, Puraria Montana, which is the scientific name for kudzu, and the fact that I'm having to explain this and that it's hard to pronounce is why it's no longer the band name.
So it was the band name for like a second before the first show.
Well, one show, we were Puraria Montana. Okay.
But none of us could say it.
Show. So
okay. We did it.
Yeah. It's like impossible to not sound drunk saying Puraria.
Yeah, exactly. True. So Less Dead works for us.
Some bait.
Yeah, it writes better than it sounds, but... So I think it works for us.
It's a great name.
It's a good one. Yeah.
Thank you.
So what about the rest of the show tonight? I mean, you're playing with some staples around here.
Yeah,
Sarah Palin.
I'm super excited to see Tooth Cemetery, to be honest.
One shot, click, 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 reload, reload, reload. 20,000 THP, make a call and Nino.
It's my understanding that a few of those members flew in from out of town just for the show, which is rad.
That's
it's a
awesome.
Benefit show.
From
it's really
Jersey?
Easy to say no to a benefit show.
Fucking Jersey.
Yeah, one's from Jersey. I think one's from like Minnesota or somewhere, like crazy, like way far away.
That's wild.
It's probably colder there than it is.
But yeah, I've DM'd back and forth with Jack from that band a couple times, and he's a super rad dude, really young, really motivated. He's in a hardcore band as well as this band, which is like kind of like overdriven indie stuff. It's really cool. But he's a Scrams dude, and he likes that kind of music. You know, I don't really know what genre we are, but I think we kind of fall into that category a little bit. So
I was going to get to that. Would y'all broadly consider yourselves
you know, like screamo or scrams or anything?
Like scrams adjacent, like scramsy post-rocky stuff, because it's like Jake is super into scram stuff and always has been. Me and Matt like have never listened to that really at all, and so it's like an entire rhythm section that's just not doing that with someone who's really into that. So it kind of has this interesting effect, honestly.
I mean, the truth is, we were trying to make a scrams band, but we're all old as shit, so it just it's not gonna happen. It's not physically possible. So it is what it is.
I feel like saying screamo is not like a bad word anymore, because it used to mean people used to like have that hot like topic. Oh dude, are you talking about like Orchid, or are you talking about like, I don't know, like the MySpace, like
we're
Christian
talking about
metalcore.
Yeah. Orchid was a pretty influential band on me when I was a young lad.
But now we're far enough away from all the MySpace shit that like screamo, I don't think it necessarily gets connected to like skinny jeans.
It's not a dirty word, and to be honest, I find the word scrams pretty cringe. So I'd prefer to call us like screamo, post rock, hardcore, punk,
like
whatever.
Like lols.
It feels like it. I don't know if it is or not, but it feels like it. You know,
to scream. Scream is the scrams.
It's XD shit.
It's some raw.
It feels very like time and place, and that time and place is like a suburb somewhere in 2007 or something like that.
That guy hit on my girl at the Hot Topic, so I raw XD'd at him and he ran away and hissed at me.
Yeah, it connotates that to me, so I don't love that word, but yeah, we're scrams.
Sure, fair enough. Yeah. You're rocking the Slow Fire Pistol hoodie on stage tonight. Local scrams elite.
Definitely. Yes, sir. They're the best in the Southeast for sure.
Damn, I agree.
Yeah. We're lucky enough to share space with them. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was going to say the same thing you were. Yeah. I mean, they also, like, they're really nice. One of them, like, I was, like, asked if I could buy, like, one of their old records, and he just gave it to me for free. It's like, oh, I don't need this anymore, dude.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
Yeah, for his, like...
table or something? Or?
Just at the practice space one day. We run into them sometimes there. But, yeah, they're, like... For as, like, blistering as their music is, they're, like, the sweetest human beings I've ever met. They're so nice. They're so just compassionate. They're great folks, and I'm happy that they're doing what they're doing here in Atlanta, because I think it opens up doors for bands like us who are, you know, not quite as, you know... Those guys are, like, real players. Like, they're real players. Yeah. We're just kind of getting started. It's been a long time since I've tried to be in a band.
Yeah, but they've played in other bands and like been laying the groundwork for a long time.
Yeah, Hank especially has been in some of my favorite acts that have ever come out of Atlanta.
You gonna shout him out?
Dead in the Dirt, man. The album, The Blind
Hole.
Shout
out Foundation.
Yeah,
Foundation.
Foundation is the band that, like, every time you go see, like, a hardcore adjacent band at the Masquerade that's from another part of the country or world.
Yeah.
Like, I saw, like, Comeback Kid. You know, one time, and they're just like, yo, there's a fucking band from Atlanta called Foundation. And the whole crowd is like...
What?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, not really, because like they're fucking legends. But,
well,
like,
they haven't been active in a long time.
But
so,
it's a lot of bands that are like grew up in that hardcore scene, but now they're in a different type of hardcore scene. So their fans might not necessarily know Foundation, but Foundation obviously is like, you know, godfathers.
They've got rippling effects. That's
foundational,
big time,
for sure.
You know, I'm a little older now. I'm in my 30s, and it's fun to have watched the Atlanta music scene sort of like ebb and flow, and what gets talked about now is like things that happened in the past that were influential were things that I grew up on, and it's just fun to be at this stage of life and see how all of this stuff interconnects and how it filters out to the new kids, because I would say that we're probably in the top You know, we're probably in the oldest 25% of people at this show that we just played.
I think we all are.
Yeah.
One dude in there.
The crowd here.
That's how it goes.
One super old head who just came to check out Jake's Slow Fire sweatshirt.
Yeah, but no, there's a lot of like, this crowd here is really big and it skews really young. And that's awesome to see. That's encouraging. And that's a sign of a healthy music scene.
Certainly.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks, dude. So,
hey, thank you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Awesome.
Wow, what a great interview.
Yeah, it was very cold on that night, if I remember.
I loved it.
Yeah. Correctly, a lot of
freezing
laughter to warm us up.
Yeah, but yeah, Less Dead is an incredible band. They've started recording, so I can't wait to hear those recordings when they're fleshed out.
Yeah.
Another show that happened last weekend, the inaugural show of the band SAG.
Yeah.
Which also has Owen, but mm-hmm. the front person is sitting right here with us, Jack O'Reilly. Also, Robert and myself are in that band.
Yeah.
And noticeably absent from the show, staying home as a protest, Jack Webster. Are you really that butthurt about not being asked to join SAG?
I don't even think we've talked about how Jack had COVID yet.
Yeah, well, I would say, first of all, it was not out of protest that I was not in attendance of the show. I'm very interested to hear the new direction of J.O.'s fronted music. Mm-hmm. I will say that also I'm going to correct Will and say that I
correct
was asked to be in SAG one late one night. I received a text from Jack O'Reilly.
Oh, damn.
What was
that,
asking,
right?
Wait, before I was in it?
No.
Asking me to play guitar parts, which I have not.
Well, okay.
We have not really followed up on it at all.
We can't just straight up have the same band.
Okay,
plus Owen.
There's got to be one person who's different.
He's the same.
I wasn't in Blanco when all three of y'all were.
I did not take it as an opportunity to force myself into this band with y'all.
I'm actually starting to come
around
to it.
I was merely flattered that Jack O'Reilly thinks I am capable of, doing another
three
band
guitars,
and getting back into guitar.
Yeah,
or the guitarist role. But I did get COVID for a second time.
Where'd you get COVID at our show?
So I tracked it down. Actually, I was talking to Tyler Stalvey.
The Goat, man. I love that dude.
Oh, no.
Shout out.
What a pimp.
The Boar's Head Lounge. And
he's trouble.
he works at Leon's in Decatur now. Go see him.
With Emily from Neighbor Lady.
This is true.
We know so many cool people, y'all. And, like, they're all, like,
and
so
we
sick.
And we say all of their names on this podcast.
Yep.
But he was saying that... after I went to see the String Cheese Incident.
Oh, yeah.
I met up with y'all after the...
Wait, where'd you see Cheese?
I saw Cheese at 420 Fest in Centennial Olympic Park.
Oh, Lord.
One of Webby's boys gave me some VIP tickets.
And you're a big Cheese head.
I'm a huge Cheese head, dude.
Yeah. Maybe even caught a little Umphrey's McGee.
You catch some Umphrey's? Baby, give me that toot-toot. Baby, give me that beep-beep.
Running her hands through my fro. Bouncing on 24s. I mean, I could have, but we did not get there in time. Just saw Cheese. It was interesting. It was fun. It was very fun.
I was there also.
It's just, like, so funny. That crowd is entertaining. I don't want to say anything disrespectful about, like, whatever you call hippies now, but
wooks.
Yeah,
I'll be happy to.
Wooks fascinate me, and I loved that. You know, I was very accepted
their hats
there.
Are awfully straight, aren't they?
They're like the flat bills with the pins on them. Of
festivals and
shit.
Well, I mean, in the VIP section, it was honestly, like, we were some of the few people under like 50 years old.
Yeah.
So they were just kind of old school, like hippie.
Like Grateful Dead style Wooks, or at least early Fish.
But they had the same dance moves that you would expect from a Wook, I guess. And
the kind of the noodle.
Yeah, just kind of like that freestyle, like
twirling thing.
Like very, very arm involved.
Yeah. Okay. Did you see some hula hoops?
Not there. No, I didn't. Really? There wasn't any room, really.
They might not have been allowed in.
Yeah.
Devil sticks?
Okay.
That's a good point. Anyway, after that,
they didn't let me bring mine in.
We met up with at least Will at the after gathering for the CDSM show.
Oh yeah.
Celebrity Death Slot Machine show at the Earl. But the after gathering was at Argosy, the back room, which I had never really been to before. And Stalvey, who was there,
it's kinda nice,
told me that he had several friends there who say that they got Omicron or whatever version of COVID it was. I think it is Omicron because
it's a variation.
I had it in January and it waited exactly pretty much 90 days to just like hit me again.
You've had COVID twice.
Yes.
At least.
Well, only of that variant.
Well, I think,
dude, what the hell?
I think you probably got COVID on the tour with Hefner and Monsoon, though.
I don't think so. I was ill, but no one else. I got sick, and I did do a test right before leaving that said that it was not. It was also that was in November, so it was cold. Could have just been a cold.
Yeah, I got pretty sick after that too.
Wow.
It's kind of embarrassing to get COVID nowadays. You're like, why is this still happening?
It's out of style, isn't it? Yeah.
I had to cancel like 2 weeks of gigs. One of the gig being that Future music video that Will worked, and could have used the money, but we'll bounce back.
Well, I'm sure you'll be making more than that off the Patreon. Y'all follow our Patreon as well. Where we've got bonus content, bonus interviews with bands like Turnstile and Citizen, carried out by Jack O'Reilly.
That was a good one. Yeah.
So look up our Patreon and follow us there for really cool shit.
Yeah, patreon.com/O'Reilly's World.
O'Reilly's World, not O'Reilly World.
No. This is his kind of bigger vision.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Well, I've been very respectful of the Wooks and your experience that you had with them. I'd be more than happy to dunk on some Wooks because y'all know I used to run with a little more of a, what they call a headier crowd.
Yeah.
You probably got the highest
band show count
under your belt.
Jack Ode.
I wouldn't go that far.
Wait, what was that?
I said you probably have the highest jam band show count under your belt.
Maybe. I've seen.
Robert seems to want to contest.
That's tough.
I've seen Wise Rare Panic like 10 times.
10 times?
I've seen Unfreeze at least 8. Well, when you go to like
Jesus
lock in or music festival, you're catching.
You are
like,
heavy.
You win.
Yeah,
you are heavy.
Two or three nights in a row. Panic is like super old man music with some righteous shredding, but like remember, especially if you're just like tripping your ass off at one of these shows, since everybody else is like noodling and having fun. If you're not into jam bands, but you're there because like your friends or, you know, whoever you're with wanted to go and you're like, yeah, shit, I'll go to Charlotte or Augusta or whatever for the night, Chattanooga. You're kind of in a different mind state where you're just sitting there and you're like, oh, my God, what the fuck am I doing? You're on minute 22 of like a bongo solo and you're just like, why?
I found it. It lends itself pretty easily to just like hanging out and having a good time. Like you know.
Were you crushing IPAs at this thing?
There was really no choice.
Yeah,
the Sweetwater
all
Festival.
All they have on the menu.
Yeah. I think I had one or two Sweetwater Oasis's, the electrolyte infused seltzer.
Dude, that is such a good idea.
Is it though?
Yes.
Like I don't think it makes you less hungover.
Okay.
That's
but
not the
I mean,
point.
It's not a bad idea. Like, I mean, it. Like,
do they taste good?
They're fine. Yeah, they're fine. They've got a.
They're kind of like dirty though, because Sweetwater's deal is they got.
They're dirty.
Well, they got like a earthy, like, super heavy thing to their beers.
Yeah.
Or it's just
dirt beer.
Like hoppy.
And then they just don't clean the tanks and they just like make the. Yeah. It's kind of got like some stuff floating around.
Dang, after all.
Brown seltzer.
It is dang. Well, what do they call it? A dirty hippie? Where you, or it's half of a Hopsecutioner and half of a Sweetwater 420.
Yeah. The dirty hippie. I used to.
That's gross.
Why would you do that?
I used to put those back at the lounge.
Like a.
If you're trying to impress Skimpy. You know, you're trying to get him.
Dude, I'm drinking two beers at once.
I honestly think it's just a way to try to make the Hopsecutioner taste a little better.
Yeah, it's a pretty undrinkable beer.
Yeah, it tastes so bad.
Well.
And that brings us to our first ad read of Terrapin Beer Company.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, or Sweetwater. I traded the owner of Sweetwater my Ray-Bans.
For what?
Oh, at because I gave O'Reilly a ticket to the 420 fest
for two shroom capsules that didn't do anything, and then we went back and I got two more, and
so
kept the Ray-Bans.
Four.
Yeah. Yep.
How was that?
I felt bad. It was the first thing I thought about when I woke up the next morning. I was like, God damn it! I just traded my Ray-Bans for nothing.
There was a moment at the CDSM show where Jack Webster and I are talking in front of. You know, somewhere in the front of the Earl. And you were literally just like, yeah, man, I was talking to Will earlier, and I was like, Will Hefner? And you just pointed at me. And I was like, oh, Lord. Like, you weren't looking at me, but you pointed at me like you were talking to me about talking to me, but like a different time.
So I did like a reverse.
It was like a third person
thing. yeah. Hey, man.
So having a good
That's
night.
Cool.
That Wook music. Can change your life.
It can change you, period.
Run a train on your consciousness.
Yeah.
Reminds me of when we opened up for Papa Dozio once upon a time. Good.
Yeah.
Good vibes.
Found our cloud.
That was great.
That was pre my era.
Yeah, I was actually telling Jack, I think that we played Cherry Street Tavern a few weeks ago in Chattanooga, and Papa Dozio was coming through there to do an acoustic
duo set
show.
Right?
And they're known for being an electronic.
For being a strictly like 100% electronic based band.
Yeah.
So we got to go up for that. I mean,
when is that? Yeah, we should.
Well, it was like the day after our show, right?
Yeah. But.
Chattanooga seems like kind of a hippie town. From when we were up there, Jack Webster and I went to like an Earth Day celebration thing, and it was nothing but like fucking IPA dads and kind of hippie moms.
Yeah, just
like
young
parent,
beet red IPA dads, like sweating their asses off while their kids run around.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was ridiculous because we literally heard someone covering Baba O'Reilly like from in the distance, and we were like. What
acoustic?
No, like
that'd be cool. That sounds kind of nice.
Yeah.
While Rob and I were in like crazy traffic, I was pretty jealous at that point.
Yeah, it was nice. You actually did get like a fucking 11% ABV beer.
Yeah, the girl from the brewery who was selling the beers said it was her favorite, and it was in no way other than that a selling point for me to order it.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Wink?
I think
you.
Yeah, I mean,
did you just wink? Yeah,
I just mic'd
one of those
my wink.
Will get you all right.
Yeah,
you know,
that was good.
That's true.
Yeah. Do we? What else have we done? I mean, do we want to cover our shows or kind of stick to the?
That's cool.
There's just so much to cover. I think the last thing I want to say is like dive a little more into the CDSM show, simply because that was such a big night for the scene. Because it was a real Athens-Atlanta connection. It was almost like all the people that used to be in the Athens scene that are now here in Atlanta, like all went over to the Earl. And people got really fucked up. Like people were going really hard that night. And so you started seeing people that like I haven't really seen converse. I definitely had people that are like cooler than us coming up to me and just like basically pinching my cheeks and being like, Wayuka, like. Yeah, because it's like we've just all known each other, at least been like tangentially aware of each other for so long. It's kind of a nice night. CDSM, yeah. AKA Celebrity Death Slot Machine. We got, you know, that's a lot of fucking people from Athens that are all in a trillion different bands. We got Ben Presley from Concord, America.
Formerly, I mean, Material Girls.
She moves. We got Jack Blauvelt from Chief Scout.
Neighbor Lady.
Dana Swimmer. Rose Hotel? No, he's not in Rose Hotel. But we did have the Restivo brothers, also from Concord, America.
Are both the bros in it?
Rose Hotel. Yeah, both the bros.
And then Drew Kirby.
Drew Kirby.
From New Wives and Mothers. A bunch of stuff, yeah.
That's true.
And Tyler. Don't forget,
Tyler
doesn't he do it?
Is an incredible front person. Okay. Rocking the saxophone. A lot of really good crowd work.
Hatch. A little louder now. Hatch. A little louder now.
One thing that's cool about CDSM is that, like, they all kind of keep switching up. There's a big rotation of who's fronting the band. So it's like Ben did a lot of fronting and then jumps around, gets on the drums, and is a really good drummer. And then, you know, that might be a song where, like, John Restivo, who's normally the drummer, like, gets up front, does like a conga solo in the crowd or something. Like it's a real party. And it's a super throwback. I think all that crew was pretty heavily involved with the legendary house venue, Rowdy Dowdy, which had, you know, long known for its Athens location, but it had like two or three locations in Atlanta. They've put on play, like, original theater productions and ton of fucking house shows that we were, you know, attendees and performers at over the years. So that was just, it was like so many people in those bands just kind of tying everything all back together between Athens and Atlanta for one big night. And that was really cool.
It was kind of their, like, launch date for their,
tour. They were going
30-date tour. Mm-hmm. Like,
something big, yeah.
They just finished playing in Canada. Now
they're about to hit
the rest of the
Europe
states.
Europe, too, right?
Oh, wow,
I think so.
That's dope. And we saw CDSM, like, a couple months before that at the Earl with Sloppy Jane and Ice Age. That was another big show, which, like, Ice Age was really good. I personally hated Sloppy Jane. I thought that was a
damn.
I was wondering if
I was the only
damn.
Who's going on? I couldn't hear a sound. I couldn't hear a sound.
Well, they say love is loud. I was the only person that didn't like it. Every single other person there claimed to really enjoy it and be into it.
I kind of forget how.
But they were, like, catatonic. The crowd wasn't, like, even when the band on stage.
Why
was
would,
like,
they claim that?
Like, well, this is why I'm.
Why is it in their interest to act like they enjoyed it?
Glad you asked. I think there are a few reasons. I've got several theories related to it.
Sure.
First of all, the new Sloppy Jane record is acclaimed.
Feeling a decent two strong eight on this one. Anthony Fantano, Sloppy Jane, Madison, Forever.
This is a band that's had a reputation for years for, like, they get on stage and then she, like, gets naked and, like, has blue shit that she pours all over herself and it's, like, crazy. And everyone was like, yeah, it's a punk band. Like, it's going to be wild. And then I get up there. They're basically playing, like, low-budget show tunes, which no one's singing along.
That sounds good.
I know it sounds good. It just really reminded me of, like, carpool growing up where I would be really groggy. I'm, like, 10 years old. And, you know, like, I have to ride to school with this girl
naked?
That lives on my street. No, I'm
covering
not.
Covering yourself in blue, like, slime?
Yeah, it was just like carpool.
And this, like, girl that I carpooled with in my neighborhood would be like singing at the top of her lungs along to show tunes, like CDs in the car, or like these just like heinous tracks. I think it's impacted my ability to enjoy musical theater, to be honest.
That's a bad
adult.
Vibe. I mean, yeah.
But the other thing is that everyone at this show is like claiming to be obsessed with it, but they're not singing along to any of the songs. I doubt anyone actually is listening to show tunes in their spare time. And even when the band is doing like a big kind of more punk thing where they're trying to like, they're trying to rock the crowd. They're like walking out into the crowd and like getting up on, you know, like climbing up on shit. No one is headbanging. No one is like air guitaring except for me. And I'm not doing it because I enjoy the music. I'm doing it because I like headbanging and air guitaring.
No one was air guitaring.
And I do that shit for free. And so it was. To me, it seemed like a little bit performative the way that everyone was like, that was the best thing ever. It's like, really? Because you weren't acting like you were enjoying it during any point in the set. And I have to admit, there were some pretty brilliant moments peppered in. Like, there's a lot of talent there and some really cool, like, string composition and stuff like that. But by and large, it was, like, extremely corny and cringe.
Sheesh.
Well, are they from here? Where are they from?
I don't think they're from here, but they've been touring the South pretty hard for years.
Got it.
So they have a reputation.
They've played
Athens,
with like
Atlanta.
That cool, crew so a bunch, I think. So
they probably won't hear this.
No, I mean, here's the thing, though. I do.
But I like the honesty.
I do respect the band. I just think this new record is like a little low energy for my tastes. The older stuff is cool. But just that show wasn't doing it for me. And everybody else was all about it, supposedly.
I haven't heard it.
What'd you think, Jacko? You were there.
You got to describe this a little more. I know you just went off describing it a ton, but I don't recall this particular set. I recall
that's exactly
Ice Age,
what I'm saying.
Like,
completely forgettable.
Very, yeah. So I guess maybe that speaks to.
Do you recall
well,
telling anybody that you?
You were also
it?
Turnt no. up a little bit, right? I mean,
at the Earl.
That's quite the accusation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you there?
No. I heard that you were turned.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Okay. Then, yeah. I was.
I mean, wasn't everyone?
Well, there you have it, folks.
Wasn't this after the cheese show?
Riley was turned.
No, wait.
Verified turned.
Oh, different night.
No, different night. This was
okay,
Ice Age.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. What'd you think about Ice Age?
I loved it. That's like.
I thought that band was like, I thought they weren't cool anymore. Yeah. But they won me over big time.
I never really listened to them. Just
they're like the coolest band,
them.
Allegedly.
All right. Well, we got about 19 more seconds on this thing. What do y'all want to say anything to the people?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what to do on Saturday.
Me too.
Broasis is playing.
I'm saying Drew Beskin and Broasis, the strictly bro Oasis cover band.
They're performing at the Blue Lives Matter Smith's Old Bar.
Hell yeah, I'll be there.
Damn.
And then
supporting the boys.
I think I am going to end up having free ride practice on Sunday.
Yo,
in
big,
Athens.
Sorry to interrupt, but big congratulations to Jesse from Free Ride. Married.
Woo!
Love you, dude.
His wedding was last weekend. Had to miss it
love
due
you,
to
Jesse.
COVID, but we all love that guy, I hope.
Super talented. From Free Ride and from Boston hardcore-based band, Head Fucks.
Nice.
But so I'm thinking after we play in Birmingham tomorrow.
At the Nick?
Yeah, at the Nick. By the time this airs, you will have missed that show.
Sorry.
Because you don't live in Birmingham.
Yeah.
Hopefully not.
But
just
I'm thinking
kidding.
About going back and catching
just kidding.
Hefner opening for the Future Birds at the Georgia Theater on Saturday.
Oh, man.
Yo,
that's going to be insane.
That's going to be sick. The Future Birds crowd is going to fucking love Hefner.
Yeah. I think it's going to
go out and see Future Birds. And
Hefner's quite appealing.
Definitely.
To the ladies.
Sonically, appealing to everybody. And I would say, I mean, they're just, they're mad handsome. Everybody in that band.
Every last one.
Big ups to them, man.
Yeah, I think this is going to this is going to really boost their, you know, just their presence and their fan interaction.
I think it's going to boost their profile with bros, because they've been kind of sweethearts of the of like the more art, like punk
art, you know, bros
townie,
yeah,
scene or whatever, if you want to put it that way. But they definitely rock on a level that I think the bros and the lady bros are all going to love too, and the they bros.
Yeah.
Well, folks, we had a great time talking music with y'all and hanging out with each other, because we like each other as friends and as bandmates. We'll see you next time. Sorry it took so long, but we're going to have more shit for you coming up. Take care.
Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah. Why you go out?
Love you, bro.
Love you too. Love you too, bro. We bring them both together. We got something all night. Then after the show, it's the happy lobby. And after the party, it's the hotel lobby. And round about four, we gotta clear the lobby. And yeah, take them to the room and freak some buzz. So give it a toot-toot. Better give it a beep-beep.